Adama, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to this 56th episode on Fatima. We were talking about the importance of Fatima to the rest of the world. We start to say the importance of Fatima to Portugal, but Fatima was more important to the rest of the world than to Portugal. Just as the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ certainly came to a place and that in a time, but the importance of it, of his coming, was not just for Israel and for the year zero. It was for the whole history. It came in the middle of human history to everybody. Of course, you had to land somewhere. And he landed in Israel. Also, that's why this was the elected people by God, because they were closer in understanding of the real God. They were the closest, whilst at that time most of the surrounding peoples and in the rest of the planet, they were still in the phase of polytheism and some still in the phase of animism. So only the Jews were already thinking of a spiritual God, a God that it's not just a Lord but can be a Father, that has feelings, and a personal God with whom you can establish a relationship. And so that's why it was the best prepared people to receive the Messiah that came not just for Israel. As a matter of fact, he didn't come in the shape of the waiting, the sort of Messiah that the Jews were waiting. He was not that sort of Messiah. And that's another proof that he didn't come to Israel alone. He came to everybody. So the same, the message of Fatima, the message of Fatima is for the rest of the world, and not just for Fatima and Portugal. And it's more important, the rest of the world, than Portugal, although, as we said, it was also important for Portugal. You see, God also is minded about the local problems, and I believe that because of Fatima we didn't have a civil war, communists against the rest, like we had in Spain, in the neighbor country. So we were preserved from that. We have seen also the power of prayer, already in the Old Testament, when Moses was, the Jews were defeating the Amalekites because Moses was praying, and whilst he was praying, they were overcoming the Amalekites. But if he stopped praying, then the Amalekites were overcoming the Jews. We saw that historically again in the Battle of Lepanto, the victory of the Holy Rosary. And we have said so that Fatima was very much against communism in as far as militant atheism, but not only Fatima and Nazism. There is also a chapter about Fatima and Nazism. Not that Fatima was really literally against Nazism. It was more somebody that used Fatima against Nazism. But of course, Fatima is against any bad thing that happened in the 20th century, as we know, and I have repeated it quite a lot. So, but the Nazis felt much disturbed. In fact, the official center of security of the Third Reich came to say that all those, I'm quoting, all the propaganda of Fatima is directing its complete weight against the fundamentals of National Socialism. National Socialism, that's what they call themselves, but we look at it as Nazism. But the Nazis call themselves National Socialists. So they felt that Fatima was also against them. But not, as I said, not because Fatima was really against them, but somebody made Fatima a weapon. Somebody weaponized Fatima against Nazism. And of course, those were the Allies. The message of Fatima is clear in its condemnation of communism as militant atheism. It says nothing against the social revolution that communism brought about, as I told you many times. There is also nothing explicit against Nazism as an ideology. It only speaks of the Second World War and of the many evils that it would cause. Of course, Nazism is the ideology behind the Second World War, and of course the slaughtering of the 5 million or 6 million Jews is also one of the consequences of that war, and so it speaks of the Second World War in itself. You know, remember that in 1917. Our Blessed Mother in Fatima not only spoke about the end of the war, the First World War, but in speaking about the close that we were close to end the Second World War, the First World War, she also said, well, but a worst one will come, and that was the Second World War. Worse than the first could only be the second. And of course, the third secret would be about a possible Third World War. Despite Fatima being explicitly against the atheism ideology of the Russian Revolution, the Allies did not want to use Fatima against Russia, you see. Fatima was used against Russia, especially by the United States, but not at the time of the Second World War, because Russia was an ally. Russia was together with France, England, and the United States against Nazi Germany. So they didn't want to upset. They didn't want to upset the Russians, and because of that, they manipulated the message of Fatima. And they made it a weapon against Nazism when by itself it's not a weapon against Nazism. Of course, somebody took the care of rewriting the message of Fatima. More explicitly, Father Luis da Fonseca rewrote the text of the second part of the secret, where it was written the consecration of Russia, he substituted it with the consecration of the world. And the world was indeed consecrated, so somehow the Pope was on it too. And instead of Russia spreading her errors, he wrote, "An unholy propaganda will spread its errors in the world by promoting wars." Yeah, this is clearly against Germany. So you see, the world recognizes that Fatima is important. And because Fatima is important, everybody tries to have Fatima on their side. So only the Nazis never tried to have Fatima on their side because it was already used by the Allies against against the Nazis. So you see, but this shows how important Fatima is, that everybody tries to use it to have Fatima on his side against the other side. And this is a nasty thing, because Fatima is completely against Russia in as far as militant atheism, and yet the Allies did not use Fatima against militant atheism. That was used afterwards, but that is only when the Second World War is over and the Allies have won. Now these Allies go back to the original Fatima, because now the enemy is the Soviet Union, not anymore Germany. The enemy is now the Soviet Union. You see how sometimes we change the truth, and we use and Fatima was from now on, especially the United States, has used Fatima for the witch hunting they had. And they promote that witch hunt in South America for communists. If anybody, I remember one cardinal in Brazil, now the name is failing me, when I say and I am in favor of the poor, they call me communist. You see, anything, the whole continent, you know, the importance of the United States in the whole continent of America. And as a matter of fact, they are the only ones who call themselves Americans, but Americans are all the inhabitants of this continent. But they just grab the name and they are the real Americans, and they promote North and South their ideology against any social thing, because the United States, as you know it, is the face of real capitalism that followed that famous Adam Smith completely. Be selfish about your things. The state gives you nothing, only a small flag, and of course there is prestige in being American. So the people grab that prestige and they live on it. They live on it because the state gives you any social thing? No. Helps you in anything? No. Does the state give you health? No. You pay for it. Does it give you universities? No, you pay for it. That all those things that we have in Europe, no, nothing in the United States. So, but do the Americans pay taxes? Oh, they do. And a matter of fact, there is a proverb that doesn't exist in Europe. The proverb that there are to only certain things, to the certain things, the things that are certain in this life are only two, death and taxes. Yeah, death and taxes. And of course, since the state only collects and doesn't give, that's United States of America, only collects and doesn't give, of course they can have a big army. Yeah, they can have a big army. The other people, the other European countries, the other civilized countries, I would say, they don't have much money to spend on weapons because they spend the money on people. They spend the money on people, in giving them universities for free, giving them schools for free, giving them pension, giving them health, national health service, all in all European countries and in Canada too. Of course, that you spend your money there. The taxpayers, they get it back. In the United States, no. It goes all for weapons. It goes all for weapons. Anyway, so let us make a pause here. And when we come back, we will speak about Fatima and the Cold War, this sort of war that came up after the Second World War. So let us make a pause now. Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and as we were saying, comparing the United States with Europe, some people think that the United States is the most developed country. Yes, indeed, is developed technically and in so many other things, but in quality of life, you should think twice. People in Europe, as almost ever, you start working today and Probably next year you will have already a full month holidays. In these countries, America and Canada, to have a month holidays, you have to work for how many years? And Europe is moving towards a 4 days week, so that you work only 4 days a week, not five. And that, so you have plenty of other time to do other things, because we work to live, not we live to work. Some people, as far as I know, here in this country and in North America, they spend most of their lives working, and that's not a good thing. That's not quality of life. So Fatima and the Cold War, there was a weapon that was created that is called the Blue Army. Of course, the Blue Army, why is it blue? Just because the blue is the color of our Blessed Mother? Yes, the blue is the color of our Blessed Mother, but it was also to contrapose it with another army that is called the Red Army. It is still called the Red Army. Communist army, the Soviet Union army, it's called the Red Army. And to fight that Red Army, another Blue Army was created. Blue is very much also the color of the United States, although the color of the United States in their flag is navy blue, and the color of our Blessed Mother is sky blue. So they are two different blues, but anyway, it's still the blue. And there was behind the basilica, the old basilica, behind the old Basilica of Fatima, there is a church, an Orthodox church, that had a dome, an Orthodox dome, and it was painted in blue. Now, because of that association, now they are not painting it, they painted it in gray, but is a very dark gray, and not a graceful gray. For me, it should go back to blue. Once nobody associates that building with the Blue Army, but it was. I grew up in Fatima, and as a child and as a teenager, I was always looked at, and everybody in Fatima, in Covaderia, looked at that Orthodox church as the Blue Army. We called it the Blue Army. So it was the Blue Army was created by the United States against the Red Army of the Soviet Union. Is a religious organization that has served the North Americans and the dictators from Latin America to demonize and fight against communism. Now, it's demonize and fighting communism, not militant atheism. So when you use Fatima against communism, you are instrumentalizing Fatima. Fatima, as I say, is not against communism per se, is against atheism, against militant atheism. So this blue army came over 25 million members. 25 million members is a lot of members. And the name was clearly in contrast with the Red Army, as I said. It was certainly a peaceful army. It was not an army that had weapons. But the Kremlin always suspected that it was a nest for the CIA agents. It was founded by an American priest, Father Colgan, who synthesized the message of Fatima into three precepts: devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, rosary daily, and the fulfillment of the duties of the state. That is an invention, has nothing to do with Fatima. But of course, it's part of the instrumentalization of Fatima that some people use because of the importance of Fatima, as I said, trying to have Fatima in your fold. Now, another movement throughout the 20th century, so that in this Cold War, it was a war that lasted all the 20th century until Gorbachev. And the Cold War was the Soviet Union against the United States, with some wars that were somehow the release of the tension, where indirectly the United States and the Soviet Union were fighting each other. The Korea War, the North was with the Soviet Union, and the South was with the United States. Now, the Vietnam War, again, the North was with the Soviet Union, and the South was with the United States. And so forth, there were all these wars that behind the scene, and you can see even now, Russia and Ukraine, they are at war with each other. The West is helping Ukraine, and I believe, at least statically, China and other countries are helping the United States. So it's like the Cold War. It's not just a war between Russia and Ukraine. It's not. It's the other forces are behind one or the other country. Another movement during these years, the pilgrim images of Fatima. The first image left Portugal in 1946. And this is something that is still going on at the request of a parish priest in Berlin. So it was not something that was invented in Fatima. And although those images were done by the same sculptor that the one that is used in the little chapel in Fatima, and the one that that Lucia used for devotion in her monastery, those images. And no other images are acknowledged in Fatima apart from those that were done under the supervision of Lucia. Those are, and they belong to the same sculpture. So these images went to all the European capitals and even to Russia. This was followed by other travels in 1948 to Africa, in 49 to America, and 53 to South Korea. In the midst of the war, the White Lady of Peace was once again a weapon against communism. It was precisely in this year, in 1953, that in Cairo, one of the largest Marian manifestations known in the country was organized. Ironically, the image was paraded in a car belonging to the Russian embassy. That's a very interesting thing. So Russia collaborated with this procession of Our Lady. Okay, so now there is the last point in this program about the importance of Fatima to the world would be the very name Fatima. So I give this the title of Fatima and Islam. The legend has it that Fatima was the name of an Arab maiden captured by Don Afonso Henriquez in a battle against the Moors, the Muslims. That was our first king, the first king of Portugal. And this lady was captured and given in marriage to one of his commanders, Don Gonçalo Hermínguez, who was benevolent towards her on the condition that she would freely accept the matrimony and convert to Christianity. Okay, so that's what happened. She converted to Christianity, and after the appropriate instruction, she was baptized with the name Oriana. Oriana, the town to which Fatima belongs is called Orain, and comes from this name Oriana. So the beautiful princess, however, died in the prime of her life, and Don Gonzalo, heartbroken, gave himself to God and entered the Cistercian Abbey of Alcobaça, 30 kilometers away from Orain. It is still there, this Cistercian Abbey is a national museum, so it's not, there are no monks anymore there. So this is the facts. Fatima has always been a very common name in the Arab world, because that was the name of the beloved daughter of the Prophet Muhammad. Fatima is the object of veneration and respect for all Muslims, for being the daughter closest to her father and for having supported him in his difficulties. The same she did for her husband and children. She was also the only daughter of the Prophet who had sons, male sons, that survived beyond infancy. The Prophet did have sons, but they never went beyond infancy, and who founded dynasties of countries like Egypt and Morocco. Few Christians know that Our Lady is venerated by the Muslims. In fact, when Muhammad entered Mecca and his soldiers began to destroy all the idols, all the images that were there, remember that Mecca was sort of Christian, he embraced a statue of Our Lady to protect it from the rampage. The Book of Quran contains an entire sutra, that is a chapter, on Mary, and she is also the only woman whose name is in this book. All other women whom the book talks about are never mentioned by their name, like it is done for Mary, but rather by their relation to their male counterpart. For example, there is no mention of the name Sarah. Instead, she is referred to as the wife of Abraham. The same Rebecca is never there. She is mentioned there by the wife of Isaac. Mary is venerated in the Quran as a virgin and mother of the Prophet Isa. That is the way the Muslims call Jesus. Who for both? That's another contradiction in Islam. For both Muslims and Christians, the Prophet Isa is the one who is to come at the end of time to judge the living and the dead. So in a way you see that that the Muslim religion was written somehow after Christian religion, and there are some elements that belong to the Christian religion. It could be said that the intervention of Our Lady of Fatima has not yet ended, and that she still has a word to say in relationship between Muslims and Christians. It is a fact that in her pilgrimage travels, Our Lady of Fatima has aroused curiosity and awaken a veneration among the Arabs for having the name of Fatima. For being a statue of Our Lady, who they venerated, and by having the name of Fatima, it's not therefore all that impossible that Mary, who is venerated by Christians and Muslims alike, especially under the invocation of Our Lady of Fatima, could bring these two groups closer together. And this could be one secret behind the name of Fatima. Nothing happens by chance, some people say, so probably is not by chance that the apparition was in Fatima, and Our Lady bears the name of Fatima, maybe to help Christians and Muslims coming together. As a matter of fact, look, in this militant terrorism, this Islam terrorism that that was awful in the United States, the Twin Towers, awful in the tube, in the underground, in London, also closer to us in trains that were running to Madrid, and they exploded and killing many people. You know, there are millions that gather in Fatima, in that piazza, and nothing has ever happened. I say that any Muslim would feel disgraced if they attempted against Our Lady of Fatima and whoever goes there to venerate her. So maybe there is a chance, and that would be a third secret that is held by the name of Fatima, that probably by Fatima these two religions could reconciliate and come in together. And so we leave this for today, and tomorrow we'll change another day, we'll change subject.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.